This show is brought to you by BigAndTallMart.com. BigAndTallMart.com is your number one source for all things big and tall. From licensed t-shirts to casual wear and everything in between, BigAndTallMart.com has you covered. Use promo code GEEK10 on checkout to save 10% on orders $50 or more. BigAndTallMart.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net's Nerd News Network, and I am your humble host. Really, I gotta get a new intro. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well guys, today is Friday, July 11th, 2014. Hope you're having a fantastic weekend. I'm actually feeling pretty good, all things considered. And hey, a lot of great stuff going on the website this week. Had a lot of cool content posted. We had a new prototype with Jamie, which we have a giveaway going on in that episode. We're going to give away a copy of the Wind Waker HD for the Nintendo Wii U. Go check out that episode to find out how you can win that. And let me see what else happened. We had our topic show last week with Spada talking about the Transformers franchise. I also talked about Transformers, Rise of the Darkspark. But before I go any further, as you guys know, Con Bravo is going to be happening next weekend at the Hamilton Convention Center, and I will be speaking there. Yay! That's right, I'm a guest again at this wonderful con, probably one of my favorite conventions that I do every year, and I've got a couple of different panels. On Friday night, you can hear me and Lewis Lovog, aka Linkara, and a girl I know named Jessica. We're going to be talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And you can find us Friday night at 7 to 8 p.m. And then later on that night at 9 p.m., I will be speaking briefly at the Justin Carmichael Memorial, aka Juario. Then we move on to Saturday, and I will be doing a Q&A with the Terrible Warriors. And that's at 1 p.m. And I'm still waiting to find this one out, but I think I'm doing a panel at 5:30 to 6:30 called The Golden Age of the Modern Geek. And if that's what I think it is, I should be talking about it's a good time to be a geek right now with toys and video games and television shows. There's so much there for us to celebrate that, goddamn, it's a good time to be a geek, and that should be happening between 5:30 and 6:30 on Saturday. I'm still waiting to find out whether that is my panel, so keep it locked there. Like I said, go to conbravo.com for more details. Should be a fantastic time. Plus, I'll be hanging out all weekend. I should be around with the Terrible Warriors. I think we're getting a table. I should be recording a couple of prototypes with the Game Chasers. Me, Jamie, Jay, and Billy should be doing something. Might be recording some other stuff. But yeah, don't worry, I'll be there having a grand old time. Because that's how I roll. And hell, if you come see me, let's just come hang out. Come shake a hand, get an autograph. Hell, if I'm just hanging around and I'm not doing anything, let's go for a swim at my hotel. Who knows? Anyway, so what's going to be happening in the world of geek this week as I decide to cover what has been going on in the good old world of planet Earth this week? Well, I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite comic book writers will be taking over a favorite franchise of mine. This one isn't so much geeky as it is, I hope you never have to experience this in your life and how it may be related to climate change. A new bad guy may be popping up in Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. We're also going to be talking about how, well, it's the end of the world as we know it, and it's going down the tubes 10 times faster than before. And finally, once again, talking about the Man of Steel, how DC made a boo-boo, but then eventually made things right. Well, let's start off at the top of the list with which why we consider the good news of this week. Jim Zubkovich. This is a guy who I've interviewed at previous fan expos. I've had him on the show before. He is a writer. He's done stuff for Image Comics. He does a comic book called Skull Kickers. He's done Samurai Jack. He writes Pathfinder for Dynamite, which is a fantastic series. He's done stuff for Street Fighter. And he even did an Exalted one-shot comic which was actually based upon the White Wolf RPG, which is actually, I think, kind of cool. So this guy posted out on Twitter or Facebook the other day a box. You might be wondering, well, what is in the box? What's in the box? It is a Dungeons & Dragons Kickstarter set. And now, allegedly, he can't say anything, but us being the journalists that we can speculate all we want. And he posted to his website a picture of a hamster, and it says IDW Dungeons & Dragons. Well, evidently, this hamster is from Baldur's Gate, a.k.a. Boo. And there's a good chance, if not confirmed, Jim Zubkovich is going to be writing Dungeons & Dragons for IDW. I am very excited for this. I actually really like the run Jim did on the Pathfinder comic book. I just literally got attacked by Raphael the Ninja Turtle. He just literally just fell off my shelf and decided to stab me with a sigh. Thanks, Raph. Thanks, Sean Austin Green. You bastard. Anyway, get it back in your home. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. So, yeah, Jim's going to be writing this. I mean, Dungeons & Dragons is a huge property. And considering the really good work Jim did on, I think the first story arc was called Dark Water Rising or something like that. And then the new book is called City of Secrets. Huge fan of Jim's work. I love his artwork, but I more like what he brings to the table in terms of swords and sorcery. So I can't think of a better guy to take over D&D. I wonder where this book is going to be set. I'm guessing in, because it is the fifth edition now, probably the fifth age, I think it is. So I'm guessing it's Forgotten Realms again. I'm not 100% sure of that, but the starter set for D&D comes out on Tuesday the 15th, so I'll be checking that out, which I should have a review of that hopefully next week, if not the week thereafter. Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro sent me a Dungeons & Dragons Creo set, which is pretty funny. Think of it kind of like Lego, and they're sending me the starter set and the player's handbook, which I should have a chance to review hopefully sometime in the near future. So anyway, yeah, like I said, congratulations to Jim Zubkovich. Hopefully a new comic from him. Hopefully it's just as good as Pathfinder. I'm hoping a little bit better. And it would be really awesome if IDW kind of took a page from what Dynamite does, where they include stats or a mini map in each comic book. That's what brings me back to Pathfinder all the times. I like having the extra RPG supplements. In fact, there's a hardcover graphic novel of the first 8 issues of Pathfinder, I think it is. And you get all the statistics and all the maps and all the... it looks like a Pathfinder sourcebook, one of the nicest things I've ever gotten from Paizo. So be sure to check those guys out. And I should have a review of the new Paizo Gods Guide, hopefully beginning tomorrow. So moving on to my next story. This one, you might be wondering, why the hell am I covering this on Nerd News? Well, I know a few people that have had kidney stones, and I know they hurt like hell. And I got this story from io9.com, and it turns out the number of people suffering from kidney stones has grown over the past 30 years. And it's likely going to get worse. Now, I'm actually going to read this story so you guys can actually get the full scope of this. Because, don't worry, it's not too long, but something for you to think about. Pediatric urologist Gregory Tissan and his team analyzed over 60,000 medical records of people with kidney stones in major cities throughout the U.S. What they found was that people were more likely to develop the painful calcium deposits in their kidneys when average temperatures rose above 50 degrees. In fact, many cases of kidney stones cropped up roughly 3 days after a hot day. Now that climate change means that some regions of the globe are heating up, it's likely that kidney stones will become more and more common. The main cause for the connection between the temperature and the kidney stones is dehydration. When you get hot and dehydrated, the concentration of calcium and the minerals in your urine goes up, and that can create the stones. In a statement, Zarnian said, "These findings point to the potential public health effects associated with global climate change. It is likely that higher temperatures increase the risk of kidney stones in people predisposed to stone formation. Kidney stone prevalence has already been on the rise for the last 30 years, and we can expect this trend to continue, both in greater numbers and over a broader geographic area, as daily temperatures increase. With some experts predicting extreme temperatures will become the norm in 30 years, children will bear the brunt of climate change. That is unbelievably terrifying, because I've actually had a few of my friends that have had kidney stones, and they describe them as excruciating pain. Now, they say it's related to dehydration. For those of you that are my friends, close personal friends, you should know this will not be a problem for me. I drink like a fish. In fact, if I don't drink at least 2 or 3 gallons of water a day, believe me, that's a lot, I know, something's probably wrong. But then again, the whole calcium thing kind of gives me a bit of a concern. Once again, as you know, I like milk. So let's hope I never get a kidney stone, or I'll probably just off myself, because I don't want to go through that. That just seems friggin' painful. But anyway, drink water. It's a good damn idea. Moving on to my next story. This one you should treat very much as a rumor. Now, rumor has it is that the possibility that Doomsday may show up in Dawn of Justice. In fact, if you check out the Man of Steel Blu-ray, they actually kind of talk about him, or at least they definitely kind of hint towards him. Now, it's kind of funny they mentioned Doomsday, because I actually had a theory, and I think I talked about this. I'm trying to remember who the hell I talked about. I want to say maybe it was Blanchard, Roebuck, and maybe Scotty. I want to say maybe it was Ryan. Oh, we were talking about what if the next Batman versus Superman did have Doomsday, and Doomsday was like a weapon engineered by Lex Luthor instead of some Kryptonian villain. He's literally some science experiment, kind of like he is in the comics, except, you know, by Lex instead of some other scientist dude. If they put Doomsday on the screen this early, way too fast. Doomsday, to me, should mean something a little bit more. I mean, even when they did him in DC Animated, the movie, not the TV show, somehow they managed to fuck that up. I don't see it being a good thing, because the death of Superman should mean something. The death of Superman should have impact, and I think if you have Doomsday on the screen literally in a team-up movie, it's going to lessen that. I mean, obviously, he's not going to kill Superman, because they want to do Justice League. They can't kill him yet. They can't kill him till at least a third movie, so they can bring him back for the fourth. I don't know. I think it's a huge rush. I mean, I don't even know what other DC villains you could get away with that would be a huge cosmic threat, or not even a cosmic, just a big threat to the universe at large. Maybe Mongol. It's way too early to do things like the Monitor and the Anti-Monitor or Imperial X or whatever. So, I don't know. If you've got suggestions, I'd love to hear who you think the bad guy should be for Batman versus Superman. Honestly, I think Lex Luthor and maybe a couple of lesser baddies wouldn't be a bad formula, but I don't want this to end up like Batman versus, or Batman and Robin, where it's pretty much just a cluster of bad guys for the reason of having a cluster of bad guys. I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with that. Either way, you can look out for this movie on May 6th, 2016, when we see the Caped Crusader and the Man of Steel up on the big screen together for the first time. This one is interesting to me, and I think you guys should be paying attention to it too. I love finding out about space weather, and one of the channels I watch on YouTube is a channel called Suspicious Observers. And they always talk about the Earth's magnetic field and how it's been weakening. And this is something that's been proven to be true via NASA and other science agencies. And this one comes from LiveScience.com. And according to data collected by the European Space Agency, they have the satellite array called the Swarm. The Earth's magnetic field is weakening 10 times faster than it was previously. They were predicting that the field is weakening by about 5% a century, but looking over the data again, it seems like it's weakening at 5% per decade, or 10% faster than than previous. And it's getting weaker in certain spots. Like, it's weaker over the Western Hemisphere, yet getting really strong over areas like the Southern Indian Ocean. And this is kind of tied to a magnetic pole shift, where once every few hundred thousand years, the magnetic poles flip. So instead of north, it's south, south is north. And this normally takes a really long time. But they think this could actually happen in about 2,000 years. And it used to be the magnetic poles, or the magnetic north, would move like 10 kilometers a year in the north. They say it'll be in Asia within a few decades. Like, it's moving like 40 kilometers a year. It's kind of amazing because we need the magnetic field to protect us from CMEs, or coronal mass ejections. Not just that, but also cosmic rays from space. Basically, the magnetic field protects the Earth in a very significant and very important way. There's not a lot we can do about it, unfortunately. But if we can understand how it's happening, maybe we can develop some kind of a defense against the radiation that it'd be coming through, or maybe find new ways to adapt to it. Either way, this is what's happening, and if the European Space Agency's, or sorry, the European Space Agency's data is to be believed, well, we've kind of got our work cut out for us. And my final story this week, and this one actually starts out kind of sad, so be aware, prepare for the feels. A couple of years ago, back in 2002, a boy named Jeffrey Baldwin unfortunately starved to death at the hands of his maternal grandparents back in 2002. And they wanted to do something special for him. So, they decided to put together a fund, and they raised more than $25,000 to have a statue of this kid made in bronze. And they wanted to have him dressed like Superman, because one of the best pictures of him is dressed in a Superman costume. And now they asked DC if they could use the Superman logo. And earlier this week they said no. And people legitimately, and very much, in my opinion, rightfully so, lost their shit. Internet outcry was huge. People were, like, basically calling DC heartless. However, though, this story, I guess as much as it possibly can, does have a happy ending. The statue of Jeffrey Baldwin will be allowed to have the Superman shield emblazoned upon this life-sized statue, which I think it's good. One of the people behind this, Todd Boyce, has said it feels great to have this on the statue, because Jeffrey, the kid, always wanted to fly. He wanted to be Superman. And he said basically they received a lot of feedback from fans, and none of it was very positive for them, so they visited the original decision to now allow us to use the Superman logo as part of the statue. Now, he also goes on to say, they haven't really given me too much background on what caused them to change their minds, other than the feedback they received from fans. Now, this statue has been created by Ruth Abernathy, and it's meant to be a gift as the City of Toronto, and it's expected to be done by the fall and placed in Greenwood Park near Dundas Avenue East and Greenwood Avenue in the East End. So, it's very unfortunate that this kid had to pass away in the circumstances that he did. But I'm glad that in death he gets a chance to be the hero that he wanted to be Superman. And if you see some of the pictures of the bronze statue, it looks nice. And I'm really glad DC changed their minds on this. Why the fact that even get lawyers involved in the first place? I mean, it's not like... It's a child. And the circumstances of his death were terrible. I can't see why DC would deny this in the first place, but I guess lawyers get involved in everything, and it's just the unfortunate reality of the world that we currently live in. So, you will believe a kid can fly after seeing this, and rest in peace, Jeffrey Baldwin, I'm very sad to learn of your passing, but I'm glad that you get this in the afterlife. So sorry to end Nerd News on such a downer this week. Now, due to Con Bravo's schedule coming out next week, and I leave for the convention on Wednesday, content on the site will be kind of slow for the next few days. I'm hoping to get Birdman's toy chest out this weekend and a review show. I'm hopefully going to get those two out. And then next week, like I said, we'll be mostly spent doing slideshows and other stuff. I'm hoping to get everything done for Con Bravo. Like I said, please come out and see me. Would love to see you guys come out to the Terrible Warriors Q&A. Please come out to see me and Linkara and Jess talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm definitely Team Agent Coulson all the way. And definitely have some stories to share about Justin Jew Wario Carmichael on Friday night. And hopefully you'll get a chance to be there as we celebrate the life that he led and to the memory that he left behind. So guys, until next time, I hope you guys have a safe and happy holiday weekend. Well, I guess it's not really a holiday. Just have a good weekend. Have a bonfire. Have a few drinks. Be responsible about it. But either way, have a good weekend. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next week right here on the Nerd News Network. Can you tell that I'm a little tired?
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, god.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with a shat.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.